Oh, that's it.
Okay,
that's it. We all here. Right. What's popping? What's popping?
Hi, everybody. How
are
you?
Haven't said that one in a while.
What's popping, dog?
Yeah, dude. So we're going to go a little out of the box here today, and we're going to recap the previous episode.
Yeah, it was a big one. I hope you guys loved it. We had Vincent Jenna, the psychic therapist. It was a really profound episode. And again, it was a huge one. And we also talked about stuff with him, like off the show, that we wanted to talk about, but we wanted to go into a little bit of, yeah, what we talked about on that episode. And
that shit was crazy, bro. So just for like a little bit of context, I said this on the episode, but I've known Vincent for 4 years. Just had a lot of like conversations with him and had hung out in person several times and like had followed up on some of his followed some of his interviews and watched them to kind of like see what he was about and things like that. And we met by these really synchronistic circumstances. Mm-hmm. Like I told the story how after George Norrie, we were like talking about him and then we walked around the corner and he was at the ice cream shop. And I didn't mention this part in the show because just the nature of the conversation and he was sitting right here. But, after the ice cream shop, we walked around the corner and we talked for like hours.
Oh, nice.
In the parking lot, hours and hours and hours. And within a few months, he and his wife came out to our property and saw orbs with us.
Damn.
Yeah. Like
I didn't know that.
Yeah. They saw 8 orbs with us. I specifically remember 8 because back then it was like, oh, wow, a guest is seeing like 8 of them. Like, this is crazy. Right. Now people are coming.
It happens just all the time.
Times are different now. I mean, that was 4 years ago, 3 years ago. Now it's like, we, you know, there might be 30 or 40 show up in a night. But.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I remember it used to be like, yeah, sure. You guys could come out to the property and like, maybe you'll see one.
And they see a dot in the sky. Yeah,
maybe you'll see one, maybe even 2. Now it's like you go out there, you're going to see 30, like back to back to back to back. I think the activity has exponentially increased.
Yeah, it definitely has. It's like I really think we're like shifting into that next level of the awakening of consciousness. And I just don't think it's a coincidence that the CERN portal.
Here's a little what if for you. Do you think it's because more and more people are becoming like more open to the idea of like collective consciousness,
yeah,
and, like, higher spirituality and stuff? Do you think like the more that people believe in that, it exacerbates the activity of these light beings?
Yes. I think it's like a lot of variables here that are happening all at once. Like it's some astrological shit. Like in the background, you have the stars, you have these cosmic hands and wheels of this macrocosmic clock, uh-huh, that are just ticking and ticking and ticking. And meanwhile, for the last like, you know, several dozen thousand years, we've been sitting around as these agrarian societies, like out in our huts,
yeah,
like looking at the stars, trying to figure out what the fuck it means.
Yeah.
But, you know, in reality, like they're just like the wheels of a clock and they're ticking. And we're at that final hour where we're in that Aquarius now. So like shit's going to get weird. Mm. And that's what's happening is like, I think especially whenever they fire the CERN portal, things get weird. And we're going to come back to Vincent, but this has been on my head for weeks. I mean, we've been talking about this for days, but you know, like back in 2012 was the first time.
Right.
And I think it's pretty abundantly clear what you had.
Yeah. Say something? No, I mean, just you know, something weird is going on at CERN. If you watch the opening ceremony, when they opened the laboratory, it's like, yeah, we're just smashing particles together. Nothing to see here. You know,
yeah,
we're not then, opening portals or shifting, you know, time and space.
We're not like, worshiping pagan deities.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you showed me that for the first time. I'm pretty sure,
mm-hmm,
that the opening ritual,
the Goddard tunnel. Yeah.
Yo,
it's fucked up.
I was shook for days. I couldn't get it out of my head.
That's the most elite people on the planet were there.
Yeah.
Like
if you guys are curious what we're talking about, it's in Sweden, right?
Switzerland.
Sorry. Yeah. This big, you know, CERN or this independent, whatever you want to call it.
It's the premier scientific facility in the world.
Right. Their opening ceremony for their particle collider. It was the Goddard tunnel to the facility.
Yes. And it was like the longest underground tunnel ever built.
Go to YouTube or wherever and look up the opening ceremony for when they like first opened that tunnel.
It's an hour long satanic ritual.
It is actually terrifying.
It's people wailing like they're spirit possessed, and like a bunch of like
Baphomet,
Baphomet, and a bunch of like Luciferian goat figures, and like extreme like pagan ritual elements, like holding, you know, because like, you know, if you look at the esotericism behind, you know, Saturn, the satanic force, the horned deity of paganism and Wiccan and witchcraft and shit, it's all about the harvest. It's all about like Saturn, death, the reaper, the harvest, the cycle, not the cycle of like fertility and life, but like the cycle of death and decay.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot of like agricultural type shit. Like they're dancing around in like bundles of wheat, and they have all these like weird ass sticks and shit.
It's
very occult.
It is bizarre.
It's very dark occult.
Did you ever see the video of that person that was like staying at the facility and like filming outside of their window, and they witness a human sacrifice
in front of the statue of Saturn, Shiva.
That was Shiva. Right.
And he's in Hinduism, there are four icons of Shiva, four common icons of Shiva amongst worshipers. And one of them is like just a stone. I don't remember the other two. And then one of them, probably the most important, is the one where he's dancing in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they have at CERN.
They have a statue.
I'm sorry, I'm having an allergy attack.
Oh, you good?
I'm like itching really bad, but
oh shit, dude! You need to purge them negative spirits with some Claritin. Dog.
I haven't taken allergy medicine in weeks.
What was it? Cow manure juice, as Vincent called it.
Oh,
yeah, and then you start throwing up.
Yeah,
hey, you want to hear a fucked up quick story, real quick, man? You know I got
real
a fake,
quick.
You know I got a fake tooth. You know
actually,
that?
I just found out, I think a couple weeks ago.
I have a ceramic tooth. I mean,
oh my God, this is a fun anecdote. Ryan used to prank people that he recently met by like, he'd hang out with them for a few hours because it used to be a removable tooth on like a retainer. So he'd hang out with them for a few hours and then he'd like go somewhere and take it out and come back and just start talking to them. And I remember he did it to my wife, Casey, and she like her face was, it was pure horror. She was literally like, stunned.
I do it to everybody.
She was stunned.
Then.
It was hilarious. Okay, sorry.
Well, here was the finale of my fucking tooth coming out. So when I was like, for the listener out there, it's like, why you have a fake tooth, bro? I'm a hillbilly, all right? And I was born without the gene for this tooth to grow in. And little 13, 14-year-old me, finally, when I'm supposed to have like my last adult teeth coming in, because I was a late bloomer, one of the bitches didn't grow in.
Oh, it just never grew.
Just never had a tooth.
Oh, damn.
And when I got braces, they had to like for 3 years have like a place owner there.
Which one is it?
This one.
It is. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's right.
But yeah, so there's a whole saga with this fucking thing, man. And like when I was 18, I got a fake tooth, a ceramic one put in when I got my braces out.
Mm-hmm.
And the dentist who did my tooth fucked up. I don't want to say any names or anything like that, but she was basically like low key, like a narcissist type sociopath type figure. And I don't want to give any sort of like personal identifiers here, but her husband was my wife's dentist. And like, she fired his whole office staff because she was jealous of like the dental techs or whatever, like accusing him of like, you know, cheating with all this stuff. And then it turned out she did. She was just like whack. And I say all this to say, like, she literally fucked up my implant. When I came to the dentist here, I had my first checkup and he was like, dude, like, I don't know how to tell you this, man. And Dennis verbiage.
Right.
He's like, dude, I don't know how to tell you this, man, but like that implant is way too big. Like you run the risk of all the surrounding teeth around it, like
moving,
rotting out of your fucking skull someday. And I'm telling you what, dude, my gums are receding. I'm like, oh shit. Anyway, when I was 18, she put in the first implant and it was not right. It was like the bolt was too small or something. And it would fall out and it would fall out and it would fall out.
Oh,
and
right.
Remember,
right,
I would
right,
take
right.
it out and I would prank people with it.
Yeah.
Well, I was at my friend's house and they fed me a fruit roll up. And after eating the fruit roll up, I go look in the mirror and I'm like, where the fuck is my tooth? It's gone. Oh. I ate it.
Yeah.
So shout out Baxley twins. Love them to death. They spent like the next hour and a half. And Chris. Shout out Chris Tootin. They spent the next like hour and a half trying to make me puke my tooth out. And what we're going to bring it back to where we were, but they're hunters. And right. One of the things they had, dude, this was disgusting, man. One of the things they had was a bottle of fucking deer urine.
You're shitting me. You
for
did
pheromones.
Not, you did not drink that.
Dude, they said close your eyes.
You did
sniff
not.
This and you'll puke.
No, oh, you drink okay, it. Okay, okay.
No,
okay,
hell
okay.
no. Dude, if I,
shot,
no,
shot,
if
so, shot.
If,
so,
if someone made me drink that shit, I would go berserk. I would go swinging. Like, I'm not about to, I don't care. You know, it's like, fuck you, Bear Grylls. You can be as tough as you want to be, bro. You can
bro,
drink
that's
your
his
piss
own
and shit.
Pee.
Get
no,
away from me.
He drinks
me.
His own pee.
That's even worse.
He said, I'm swinging.
Like, get away from me, dude. Get fuck that.
Okay, Ryan, I got a question for you.
What?
What would you drink first, your own or deer urine?
My own.
No
doubt.
I wouldn't drink piss. I would sit there and I would...
yeah, come on, Ryan. In this scenario,
you
obviously you
this.
Have to pick one.
I would be like the Vietnamese monk and I would set myself on fire.
Okay, cool.
I would, man.
Moving on, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, like, you brought up like drinking cow urine or manure or something. I actually was in a scenario where my friend said, close your eyes, sniff this, you'll
did you puke?
No.
It didn't work.
The final thing they were like was, all right, let's just keep punching him until he pukes. I'm like, I'm done. And I swallowed the tooth and I went back to the dentist and they gave me another one. And anyway, it's a long saga with the shit.
Let's just punch him in the gut until he pukes.
They made me drink Sprite in a banana. You know
oh,
that?
That's supposed to make you puke.
But it was Diet Sprite. Dude, I drank an entire...
He said, but it was Diet Sprite.
It didn't work. I drank an entire liter of Diet Sprite.
What the fuck?
And ate a banana, and I didn't puke. And then they brought out the deer urine, didn't tell me what it was. They're like, bro, just sniff it. Just sniff it.
How have I never heard this story? This is hilarious.
This I was 19. This was 10 years ago. And
oh my God.
And then yeah, and then they were like, fuck it, let's punch him. And I'm like, I'm done. I'm done. I don't give a fuck, man.
Fuck it, let's punch him. That's
I was born
most,
without it, I can part with it.
That's
you know?
The most like, 18-year-old kid thing, male thing to do. We gotta make him puke, just fucking beat the shit out of him until he pukes. And you chugging a liter of Diet Sprite.
I'm feeling sick. Dude, it's just, I don't know.
You should
know.
Just chug milk or something.
Why didn't you just pull trig?
Yeah.
I didn't know about that back then.
Yeah, true.
Well, I was like
I
19,
guess you hadn't
dude.
Started drinking.
Yeah, yeah.
No. No. And then y'all know what happened at my bachelor party.
Yes.
Damn. Anyway,
yes,
back to did. The, what the fuck were we
What's this episode about?
This is about Vincent.
Yeah. What's this episode? Oh, yeah, Vincent.
Well, it's a recap. It's and we just recapped an old story of you know. So
this
we're
is
good.
An off the rails episode. We need to start a sub-series of episodes called Off the Rails.
No, it's just a general recap. Of
yeah.
everything.
Yeah, of life.
Of, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Cool.
Yeah. It's like we always have all these topics. Sometimes we just got to kind of like have
chill.
Fun and just
I love it.
Have
no,
conversations.
I've
yeah.
always wanted to just like have chill episodes like this. But yeah, we do want to talk about some of the Vincent stuff.
Yeah, so back to that. Anyway, so he had come over. He had like been seeing orbs with us. And we just had this strong feeling that we were meant to be friends. We were meant to be connected. Mm-hmm. And like, honestly, I didn't even believe in any sort of psychic mediumship. I've always thought it was like kooky. Or, you know, just like for TV and having these private conversations with Vincent, although I don't necessarily, you know or understand or believe or, you know, put like absolute faith in every level of this like psychic mediumship thing. I can't deny that some of the things he tells me have been so profound, so like shake me to my core. Like, whoa, bro, like how do you know that?
No, for sure. And I have the same experience where prior to meeting Vincent, it was like psychic mediums to me seemed very like snake oil. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it seemed very just like grifty, like just trying
someone's
to
someone's aunt in the audience has a letter M and they passed away and they're speaking through the spirit world.
Right.
You know, like,
but no, when you meet Vincent, he'll tell you things about yourself that he couldn't have known.
Yeah.
Alex has a really crazy story.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell that?
No. Yeah, I can. I'll give a lot of backstory though. So I met Vincent before, at the Bledsoe property. It was around Christmas time. And this was actually, we were explaining to him, that we wanted to do the podcast.
Mm.
This was pre-podcast and we were just kind of like talking to him about it and he was mm-hmm. gassing us up. He was like, do it. Like, it's going to be awesome. You know? So that was cool, but like nothing happened with me. Like I didn't see anything that night and he didn't like tell me anything and I didn't want to be like, give me a reading. Cause I like, I just met the guy and I'm like, this is his life and
right.
his profession. And I'm like, I'm just trying to get something for free. So I didn't say anything. And then me and Ryan were talking before he came on and I'm like, dude, I wonder like, you know, I wonder if he's going to tell me something like, you know, we'll see what happens and set my intention and whatever. And then I think it's towards the end of the episode, but Nick, he's like, yeah, you two were together. like married.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And he, so he told us we were married.
Yeah.
And he said I was a prince, and he said you were good looking.
Yeah. And I was your hot wife in a past life. Yeah. I mean, Vincent basically told us that I was Alex's hot wife in a past life.
My favorite and part was,
I'm honored.
You said, I was a princess? And he was like, not really.
But hey,
he married up.
But yeah, by association, if I married a prince, that makes me a princess, dude.
It does.
Even if I started out as a gutter rat, it don't matter, dude. I'm married up.
And there then here's go. The best part. He goes and dies in battle. You get all the gold bars.
That's a spoiler, bro. Wait,
yeah, they hurt.
No, oh, this that wasn't in the episode.
That's a spoiler, bro.
I forgot that was in the episode. All right.
So then we went to dinner, and I had a couple like private sidebar conversations with him, but it was nothing. Like, we just kind of talked about manifesting, really, and I was telling him what I liked about what he said and his story and this and that. And I actually had him tell me about a dream I've been having. We can go into that later on.
Oh, but, yeah.
Sure.
Anyway,
I want to it. This is the episode, dude.
For
we,
sure.
We're going home. We're in the car. Vincent's driving us back to Ryan's apartment.
And yeah,
Ryan's
we all went to dinner with Vincent and his wife. And
Eileen.
Then, yeah, we're riding back with in Vincent's car with him. Me, Ryan, and Alex.
Yeah, and Ryan's like, so you said Alex was a prince. Like, tell us about that. And he's like, yeah. And so he just starts channeling it. He's just driving down the road, just telling me about my past life, which I thought was so cool.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, he was a prince. And I'm getting this like Middle Eastern feel, like it was in the Middle East. And Ryan was like, yeah, I thought that too. And then he's like, yeah, you were a prince. You had a lot of money and you had a lot of power, and it was your father who was wealthy, and you were kind of an asshole. Like, you were just really rude, and like, you knew that you had all this money and power, and you were not treating the people around you very well. Mm. I was like, damn, like, okay. unfortunate, but whatever. So then I get me and my homies, I guess, got attacked because of who I was and the way I carried myself. And he's like, yeah, and you might have a scar or a birthmark on your stomach because you got stabbed with a spear through the gut, and that's how you died. And that scar is to make you remember to not, you know, use your power to be an asshole.
Yeah, we're riding in the car, and Vincent's saying this, and Vincent goes, Alex, do you have like a birthmark or a scar on your stomach? And Alex just starts laughing, and I was like, do you? And he pulls his shirt up, and he's got a birthmark.
Now, Alex, this is up to you, bro, but if you want to like post a photo of that in the episode, because that's some compelling shit,
if you want.
I don't know, honestly, that's up to you. It's your body. You the magnet,
but straight up, he has like a 2-inch like birthmark, right? It's like to
where Vincent said it would be.
It's right underneath my left lung. Like, if somebody were to stab me in the lung and like into the heart,
like with a spear tip or something, yeah,
that's where they would stab you.
And it's like, I swear to God, dude, like, I have been with Vincent and Alex, because I'm obviously the common link between them two. I have been with them every time they've ever interacted. And
I've never taken my shirt off for Vincent.
Never taken his shirt off for Vincent. Like, why the fuck would he know there was a scar or a birthmark right there? And we're having this context, and like, that's what I was trying to say. The sense I get about Vincent is like, I come from a different world than him. I come from the world of, like, you know, you guys know where I come from. I don't really have to go into detail, but you know, the whole like the beings and the psychic spies and like this like the raw psychic power and potential without all of the theater. And the sense that I get about Vincent is he is an incredibly gifted, intuitive individual who grew up and was drawn towards the like mediumship angle of it to maybe like stand out in that field and use his gifts, not to just like con people into speaking spirits. Because let's be honest, like, Vincent really does have gifts.
He's 1,000%.
Like, I've just seen him communicate with people around me and their jaw fucking drops.
Always.
You know, like, he has real gifts. And I get the sense that, like, he's just a special dude who was born incredibly psychically gifted. But, like, the path he's walked in life has led him to be this, like, really funny, really hilarious, like, big mind, big picture, like, TV psychic medium. But, like, he's really doing shit with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's cool, man.
And it was, like,
he's one of a kind.
It blew me away. It blew you guys away. Like, and we parted ways right after we got back, and I just like stewed on that, and it really honestly made such an impact internally, because I'm like, it's crazy because I hang out with you guys and like, I listen to all the episodes twice and like, I listen to the stuff like, but I still like have my personal reservations about like death. Like, I'm just like, you know, I'm, you know, still fighting or was fighting with that internally and within myself because of, you know, Joker brain or whatever. And
is it that, or is it like the religious upbringing, you think, maybe, or a mixture?
No, I just think it's just like, it would just be a shame if that's it.
Right. Oh,
like,
right. Right.
Like just nothingness. Right. Right. That's what I struggle with. Sure. And I think that's more of a control thing with me.
Yeah.
But anyway, post this thing with Vincent, dude, I have felt so good. I'm like, it's like, that's, I know for awesome. A fact it's real. Like what he's telling, everything he said to me resonated with me. And I'm like, I'm just very comfortable now knowing that the soul is truly infinite. And like, you know, it's just, this is not what's going on.
That's right? Beautiful.
And I'm, it's like what I took from that has been so awesome.
That's, I'm picking up a trend beautiful. Here, boys. Like, there's certain people that we interact with, and when we leave them, we're changed.
Like, no for doubt, example, like, Duncan.
Like Duncan.
He changed. He changed the way I think about reincarnation forever. Like,
yeah. And for me, it was chakras.
The thing that he said about being able to.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking Vincent. You meant Duncan changed you about reincarnation.
Yeah, I blanked for a minute. I got you.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Same.
Duncan, it, like how same. you can. How he was like, oh, I miss my friends. And then the, you know, the DMT entity or whoever it was told him like, you can come back here whenever you want. You can choose. You can like, you can come back here. You can come back to any point in time. Like, dude, everything is everything. Like it's all endless. You can just do whatever you want. Like that really, really, really changed my mind about that.
That was profound, man.
No, yeah, having Vincent was amazing. And one of the things that's so cool about it, too, is like, I don't know, in my experience, most of the time when you see psychics, there's this big, like, there's this big grandstanding, the huge drama. There's so much drama.
It's
in
like,
theater.
Everybody be quiet. Everybody be quiet. The spirits are speaking right now.
Yeah, no, Vincent tells you like he saw it happen. Like
well, that's like, yeah.
It's like, yeah, no, you were a prince in a past life. You probably have a scar on your torso. It's like,
when he said we were married on the episode, I thought he was joking. No, he rolled right from a joke like into the reading. I'm like, whoa.
At Ryan's wedding, he came up and was like, yeah, you guys were sisters in a past life. And I laughed. That was the first time I ever met him. I laughed. And he was like, no, really. You guys had this big competition thing where you were always trying to like one up each other, but there was like a deep love, but it was this weird competition. And I was just like, he's spitting facts right now. Like I thought he was kidding, but that's
what he does.
He
man.
Talks about it because he sees it. Like he sees it.
That's what I thought was so funny, bro. Like when he went on Logan Paul's show, he straight up, Logan Paul had no clue what he was getting into with Vincent. And he said, oh yeah, you guys were bitches in a past life. Yeah. And dude, you gotta go watch it if you haven't seen it, or anybody out there. It's just so funny.
Yeah.
But I've watched him at least half a dozen or a dozen times, like being in his proximity and like meeting other people and then having a conversation with them, and like he just locks eyes with them. And it's funny too, because he's a literal classically trained psychotherapist. Like that's his that was his like day job, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's like he's tuned into the like the psychic shit, but also like the human observation of like the psyche and the psychology, and it's
so
like,
cool.
It's like the balance of both worlds, man. He just changes people's lives. It's really incredible. Like I've watched him rock people to their core. Like my mom, you know how skeptical my mom is.
So did he do some kind of past life readings for her and stuff?
Oh yeah,
really?
Yeah, the night that Alex was there.
To just one last thing to comment on what you just said. I think that's what makes Vincent so singular, is that he has such a thorough knowledge of psychology.
Exactly.
And he is so psychically sensitive, and he marries those two things in a beautiful balance. But yeah, what happened with your mom?
I don't remember exactly what he said, because it's like the kind of thing like, you know, like when it's for you, you resonate with it and you hang on to it forever. But he said some stuff to my mom and my dad and like my siblings and everything. And they were all just like rocked, like, whoa,
yeah.
Like, what the fuck, bro? And you got to remember, like, again, I'm not saying this just to say this, but like we've met some mind blowing people.
Absolutely.
Like some really mind blowing people.
And
like,
Vincent is one.
And Vincent is one of them. Yeah. And it's like, it's just mind blowing. Like let's go into what else he said. He said some of this on the episode, and we didn't get really into detail this, but he talked about you being the philosopher. Remember?
Yeah.
And that's mind blowing.
It is mind blowing. 'Cause Ryan and I have talked about it before, how there's
for a
the,
year.
Oh yeah, for a whole year. How, you know, we've traced my lineage as far back as it can go on, like, through like the ancestry stuff, and we tracked down like the general island in Greece where my lineage comes from or whatever. And it just so happens to be the same place that one of the first philosophers, literally the founder of metaphysics,
yeah,
and the founder of the Elian school of mysticism that and philosophy that every major Greek philosopher attended. He found, this guy founded the school. Just so happens that his name is Parmenides. My last name is Firmenides. And like phonetically, it's not a leap to see that it could have been that change or whatever. So I found that out roughly, you know, a year ago or something like that. Then Vincent, not knowing this, never having this conversation,
not with, even knowing your Greek, I don't think.
No. He didn't know anything about that. Not knowing any of that tells me, yeah, no, I think you're a reincarnation of one of the first Greek philosophers. And
one of the big ones.
Yeah, and Ryan and I have literally talked about that. Ryan used to make jokes and be like, "You're the reincarnation of Plato, bro." Yeah. Like all the time. He would make
jokes. Dude, you're Plato.
Yeah.
He called him Pluto.
Pluto. Yeah. Vincent kept saying Pluto.
Yeah.
But so that was extremely mind-blowing for me. And then another one of the really funny things that he said when we were in the car on the way back from the restaurant. This was so random. He just goes to me, he goes, "Do you, he's like, I don't want to be crass or anything here, but do you like walk around the house naked?" And I was like, "Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Like 50% of the time.
I was like, "Yeah, like 50% of the time, whatever." And he's like, yeah, no, that makes total sense. Because like one of your other Greek incarnations was like one of the first Olympians and, you know, they compete naked and whatever. He's like, "So you're very comfortable being naked, aren't you?" And I was just like, "Yeah." It's like, how would he know that? How would he know that about me?
And like, I want you guys to understand
it's
that
bizarre.
Like this is a recurring theme and joke that we have talked about. Like sometimes like getting home, shutting the blinds. Naked. Like this is not just a random thing. Like
no.
I want every listener out there to understand that like for us privately, this has been an ongoing conversation in our 15 years of friendship. For him to just pull that out of his hat like a rabbit is so bizarre.
It makes no sense. It is truly like affirming to me. Like he's telling me shit about my life that he shouldn't know.
Yeah.
So to that point too, about the scar, I was explaining this to my little brother. I have a brother who's 2 years younger.
Shout out Nick.
Yeah.
We're Nick boys.
Yeah. I told him the whole story. He's like, "Dude, do you remember when we were kids, like 7, 8 years old? And you said, yeah, dude, look at my birthmark. I said, look at my birthmark. I was probably stabbed to death in the last life."
No way.
Yeah, I swear to God. Yeah,
no
yeah.
way.
Yeah. And just told him that, like, you know, didn't know you
in
guys.
In passing.
Yeah. It wasn't like, yeah, just.
That's weird.
That was your psychic intuition. That was your subconscious. Like literally, like, dude, yeah. You were remembering it.
Right. Yeah. What I'm getting at is like, everybody knows. Everybody knows. You just have to listen.
Yeah.
You know, and like the clues, like it's almost like Easter eggs, right? Like all the clues were there for you. Ryan told you, and it's like, you know, you just gotta listen.
And I wasn't kidding when I was saying that though. Like when I make a big grandstanding joke about something and keep beating it home, it's because I want you to believe it.
It's usually real shit.
It's me like Vincent. Like I'm not saying I'm like Vincent or anything, but like, yeah, like I really mean that shit when I'm like, "You're Plato."
To Vincent's point, everybody's like Vincent.
Yes, yeah, everybody.
Yeah, that's yeah. Power within. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what really sets him apart to me is there's nothing he will tell you there's nothing special. You can do everything I can do. You just have to do it. Like you have to practice and you have to listen and you have to like unlock these capabilities that you have inside of you.
Yeah.
Personally, whereas all of your other fake drama, they're like, "Oh, it's a special gift that I have and only me," and like, "You can't do this."
Yeah,
you
know? I was born with these special gifts.
Keep me on A&E, you know.
Yeah. And on part two, we'll go into his story. I'm not going to go into the details of it, but like, he had an incredibly like bone chilling entity contact when he was in his early 20s or mid 20s by him and his wife. Like,
that's what he was telling us at the restaurant.
Yeah, but I don't think he went into the full story. Like he had like full spirits manifest and basically tell him like, "Hey, you got some crazy shit to do." And like, I know he's telling the truth, man. The fact that he came to my property and he even saw the beings in the first place, like this guy, I say this guy, he's a very good friend of mine. I'm just If you hear this, Vincent, this guy. But Vincent, like,
this fucking guy.
But like, hey Tony,
this
hey,
a Tony. Tony.
But like, I know this man has the heart that is trying to wake people up.
No doubt, he's
for real. He's not a bullshitter.
He tells
me this. Like when I went and stayed with him this past December, he's had thousands of psychic therapy clients, and he's like shared some stories with me without like breaking any sort of confidentiality and names. And like, dude, like shown me like pictures of like weird synchronicities that have happened, like crazy shit, man, like really changing lives with psychic therapy. He has his own like private practice with it.
That's awesome.
Anyway, when I stayed with him in December, he even was very open with me, and he was like, Ryan, it's like I'm either real or I'm crazy, but either way I'm just going with it. You know, like he's not the
That's
kind
cool.
he's not the kind that you see on TV and is like the Long Island medium. Like,
yeah.
You know, like I really, really get the sense that he's genuinely just like us, like something's happening to me. I'm just following it and like doing the best I can do with it. Like,
yeah.
I no doubt. I think he's the coolest psychic medium I've ever seen.
1,000%.
Yeah, he's cool as
and
fuck.
And to me, he's the most legit that I've ever, you know, known. And yeah, it's just like. It's really crazy when and if you guys are interested, so he offers like his services.
Yeah, he has a whole practice.
So hey, if y'all are interested, hit up Vincent. Also, definitely do get his book. I started reading it, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, I'm like halfway through or so.
Good.
It's awesome.
I need to, man.
Really cool. It's just like a telling of his journey. Each chapter is kind of split into different stories of him helping people and how, like, the way that he helped people and the lessons that he learned through helping people. That's what I'm reading right now before bed. I'm like halfway through.
VincentJenna.com.
VincentJenna.com. Yeah.
VincentJenna.com. G-E-N-N-A. And like, this is funny because it's starting to sound like a big plug, but it's really not. We honestly were just so moved by that episode.
Yeah.
Like between the three of us that we just wanted to like kind of talk about it and lay a little bit of the groundwork for like, you know, like why we're so like into what he was saying and what he was doing. And the reason I feel that's important is because I feel like the old world, you know, the pure mention of something like, you know, for example, we always talk about crystals and how they're stigmatized. And like, that's the whole reason of trying to like talk about them in the first place is destigma. Psychic medium gets a bad rap, dude.
For no doubt.
Like the second I ever heard psychic medium, I was like, bullshit.
Yeah, fake.
You know, oh, that guy sees aliens. Like me, I've heard it my whole life for UFOs. Bullshit. But like that's kind of what I want people to understand. It's like it's not all bullshit.
No, it's absolutely
it's really not.
Not
like there's real genuine people out there.
And we're not here saying like literally everything Vincent says is gospel. Like y'all saw the episode. There was definitely some things on the episode that we didn't necessarily agree with, but I love the idea of having people in here that have different points of view. Like that's what leads to interesting discussions. Like if we're all just in here nodding our heads and saying the same shit and like, yeah, it's boring. It's not interesting. Yeah. And
how funny was that, bro?
Oh,
when
so
he was
funny.
Like, he was going on his, like on his rant, but he's like, and oh my God, the New Agers, yo bro, we're talking about like making a fashion line called New Age Drip.
Yeah.
And like Crystal. And he's like, the New Agers are like, and now they're doing ayahuasca. And I'm like, bro, I just did DMT.
You said, I feel like I'm in a pot of boiling water.
Yeah. Did I say that?
Yeah.
That's funny, man. That's funny.
Yeah.
But I love it because what I feel is like, you know, us in this field, like us, me, you, Alex, the Isaac Weishaupts, the
Omies,
the Duncan Trussells, the Omies, the Vincent Jennas, like the people who are in this locus of reality where we're trying to like make change here and like, you know, exchange very deep concepts. I feel like we're all on a team. We're batting for the same goal, but we're just figuring it out a little bit differently together.
Yes.
And like,
exactly.
It's okay. If like, if there's 1,000 pieces on the board and like, maybe I agree with like 850 of yours and maybe like 900 of that guy's, and you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter. Ultimately, yeah. We're all on the same team and it's wonderful.
No, I agree. And that's why, like, that's one of the reasons why we sometimes on this show, we talk about like Aleister Crowley, Aleister Crowley. we talk about H.P. Lovecraft. We talk about some of the darker things. It's because, like, I don't believe in absolute, you know, in absolution or
whatever.
Right. Only a Sith deals in absolute. Like, I don't believe that you should throw the baby out with the bathwater, as mm-hmm. you say all the time. Like, you know, I don't believe that because somebody may practice things in a different way than me that I may even consider dark, quote unquote. I don't condemn them or be like, nothing that they say has any value or anything yeah. like that. I don't believe that, you know? And I think it's awesome to have these open discussions and shit where you can find the common ground.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, kind of same thing is going on in the conspiracy world where you have, you know, really, really solid evidence, and then it kind of starts to build a following, and the following starts to attach its own bullshit. Mm. And then it kind of turns into Nick's yeah. trauma brownies, where it's 99% brownie, but 1% shit. Human shit. And yeah. it's like,
Nick's trauma brownies, dude, that's funny.
Yeah. Then you can't eat the brownies. You know what I mean? So I think
you know what he's talking about, right?
Yeah.
Another story.
That's great.
Right. I mean,
that's
the hilarious. Same thing going on, like, you know, you don't want to eat the brownies now, even though there's 99% of truth because of, you know, whether it's government agencies or just people looking to destroy the narrative or the solid foundation of truth in a certain theory. You know what I'm talking about?
No, 100%. Yeah. I just read for the first time Call of Cthulhu. H.P. Lovecraft.
It's one of my favorite books ever.
It's incredible. It's a really quick read too.
Yeah,
so
like hour and a half audio listen on YouTube for free if yeah. anybody's interested.
Oh, you can also just look the thing up. There's five chapters. It's literally, it might even be three.
It's very short.
It's super short. Yeah. The only H.P. Lovecraft book I had read before was Dagon. But like the reason I mention that is like, I get a lot of bad feelings from reading H.P. Lovecraft's work sometimes. Like some of the verbiage that he uses, and then like there's a lot of dark stuff in it. But on the other side of the coin, I see a lot of really inspiring mystic things mm-hmm. that
like the ritual magic shit.
Yeah,
like he was really tuned in.
Exactly. And when I see those things, they reaffirm the beliefs that I have in my own life and the things that I do in my own life. And to be honest, they also reaffirm that like, oh, I am supposed to be feeling bad about those specific things because those are dark things. And so, you know, whatever. I say that to say, like, you know, H.P. Lovecraft was kind of a bad dude, but he was also kicking dope shit.
You know what's craziest part about that, though? Like again, like, I mean, if anybody's ever read the call, this is not an H.P. Lovecraft episode, but you know, if it's brought up, I got to make this one comment.
Oh,
the
for sure.
craziest fucking part is all of that knowledge came from his dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Every book.
Yeah.
It came from his dreams. The ritual magic, all that shit.
Yeah. He was having dreams.
Psychic.
Yeah. For no doubt. He was 100% psychic.
He's taking a behind the scenes.
Hey,
what it's doing.
What it's doing.
What it's doing.
No, I think that's crazy though, that he spawned this entire universe of original. It's like a mythology.
It's first.
Yeah. It's like mythos. A complete horror mythos. He spawned all of this because he just started having weird dreams.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that like his stories are low key about him, but he just like changes names and changes certain details mm-hmm. and whatever. Like the Call of Cthulhu is about a dude who starts having weird dreams
yeah.
and they lead him down this rabbit hole and he ends up finding and releasing Cthulhu.
So you haven't read Color Out of Space yet?
Uh-uh, but I'm going
read
to.
Read it.
Yeah. We just watched that movie. It was my first time watching it. It was cool.
Yeah. The book is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. When we finished the movie, I was immediately like, I have to read it. But we're, you know, working on the Twiceborn album and we have a song about Cthulhu. So
it's my favorite one.
I was doing homework.
The Cosmic Horror.
Yeah. With every song, when I'm writing the lyrics, because every song on the EP is about a different god from a different pantheon. So I go and I do a bunch of research. My wife actually bought me this awesome mythology book and I just do hours of research to get inspiration. So I was like, okay, I got to read Call of Cthulhu before. I read Color
Out
of Space.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, that's why you read it.
Exactly.
Okay.
I was trying to, and I've started writing those lyrics. But anyway, yeah, the whole point of that was to say, like, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Like, you know,
even if you're getting dark vibes from something, there's probably still a positive lesson you can learn somewhere in there, as long as you're careful.
That's why I love horror movies, man. It's like I've experienced extreme ends of like the dark and the light throughout my life. And, you know, it's like when I observe these dark, fantastical, horrific movies, I don't know, man, it does something to me. It's like, if the dark is true, the light has to be true. You know, it's this duality thing. And it's like, you see these industries kicking and screaming and pushing these like dark messages into movies. But also it's kind of like, I don't know, man. Like I get the sense that it doesn't faze me. It doesn't affect me. Like I feel like, you know, confident in my spiritual knowledge or being a spiritual being. And it's just like fun to me. Like, haha, like I laugh at horror movies.
Yeah.
Doesn't fucking freak me out because I don't know. Like, I know it's powerless. It has no power over me. But also, like, there's really cool shit that, like,
no, there is
ritual type of shit that they leak into these movies, like Eyes Wide Shut and shit.
Oh, dude.
You know?
Yeah.
The Wicker Man?
We're going to watch.
We got to watch The Wicker Man, bro.
Casey's never seen Eyes Wide Shut. And so we're going to watch that one soon.
Oh, bro, my God, dude.
I'm kind of upset it's on Netflix. I had to buy the DVD on Amazon because I wanted to watch it. And now it's on Netflix, I feel
we
like.
We just watched Clockwork Orange for Casey's first time, and for my friend Raven and Nathan's first time, we all watched it together at my place.
Yeah, and what's the consensus?
Everyone was like jaw on the floor, like, holy shit, this is incredible. And I didn't even have to say anything to them, but after the movie they were like, was that about MK Ultra? And I was like, yes it was.
Wait till they watch fucking Eyes Wide Shut.
Oh dude,
they're gonna be like, is this about like secret elite pedophilia rings and sex magic?
So do I like the movie because it's cool or because its name's Alex?
Yeah, you probably because his name's Alex.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But it's also a really dope movie.
How much time do we have? Are we doing okay?
Yeah, we're about 45 minutes.
Oh, perfect. I never got to tell what Vincent said about my past life.
Yeah,
dude, I gotta hear that. Tell it.
Yes.
Thank you. I know he said a little bit on the episode we did with him, but he basically said that in a past life I was like a monk at a major monastery, like some sort of head monk or something, who had mastered energy control. And that I had come into this life to try to teach other people energy control. And funnily enough, he was like, oh yeah, and Alex was there with you, and he was like learning from you, and you were teaching him energy control and things like that. I don't think he indicated me and you. Oh, he talked about us being
sisters
yeah, at the wedding. Yeah.
Well, that's the wedding. Yeah. I don't remember how much he went into it on the episode.
Not me and you.
Well, no, not that part. But he talks about how like souls are attracted to each other, and they often, like more often than most people would think, souls continually incarnate in kind of the same groups and circles.
Yeah.
And souls tend to
like soul contract.
Yeah, so it was
family for sure.
Yes.
And then people that you form genuine connections with. Mm-hmm. And then he said, you know, if it's like a casual acquaintance and you don't really talk to them, then probably not.
Right.
Like not everybody you run into, but like meaningful relationships, there was probably a past life.
That's right. That's what he said. Like if you meet somebody and you feel like a strong connection with them, like almost definitely your souls have incarnated together before.
Oh yeah.
And so I look out for that now. Like when I meet somebody and form a strong connection, I'm like, you're in my life for a reason. Like we've done this before. You know what I mean? Like we've done this before in a previous life.
Can I go ahead and say something real quick? Something that needed to be said. First, I'll finish. I'll just get the last bit of the detail out. Essentially, he didn't have a whole lot to say about me because it was more so like an opportunity with Nick and Alex, which he doesn't typically have. So just to blow past that, he said I was like a monk at major monastery, energy control. Me and Alex had worked together. And essentially, like the whole consensus is, for me, that blew my fucking mind.
Yeah.
Because since I was a child, I'm telling you, man, I just can't describe the first time. I know where I was. I know exactly where I was. I know I was in diapers at my cousin Jacob's house. You know, my Aunt Tammy's, and I was upstairs, and he's 4 years older than me. So he was like an older kid, and I was three years old, and Dragon Ball came on the TV. And the second I fucking saw that,
It was like imprinted on my soul. Like you just have no clue.
It's the Easter eggs, man. The clues.
It's funny because I remember this. It's the same, exactly where I was. And funny enough, it was my cousin John. Yours was Jacob. Mine was John. Yeah. And I remember seeing Dragon Ball, and I never forgot it.
I've got a Dragon Ball right here.
And by the way, we watched the Dragon Ball superhero movie last night. It was incredible.
It was fucking mind-blowing. Yeah, anyway, phenomenal. But to be serious for a moment, like what I'm getting at by telling this is not just trying to simp over Dragon Ball. What I'm trying to say is as early as I can remember, a baby dude, I've been obsessed. My three favorite things in my childhood, you know this, but my three favorite things were Ninja Turtles. They're fucking, yes, it's an American cartoon, but they're doing ninjutsu and like, you know, like martial arts shit.
Eastern martial arts.
Eastern martial arts and meditation and mystical practices. Fucking Power Rangers. What's that? Super Sentai.
Yeah,
they do karate, and then they like grow into these giant like Ultraman Godzilla type mech fights. Like it's literally a rip of Super Sentai and the kaiju cinema of 1960s Japan, and then Dragon Ball Z. Come on. Like ever since I was little, I used to like be obsessed with martial arts, and I remember when I was 14, I wasn't quite ready yet, but I went to an MMA school and super like sheltered Christian at the time. And but they had a lot of bad language and my mom kind of like talked me to not going there. It was a really rough and tough, like big, like Eddie Bravo types, like rolling around doing jujitsu, like, fuck, bro, fuck me up. You know, like I was just a sheltered little kid. But then when I became an adult, I got into the Wing Chun school, took it very seriously. I mean, you know, like 4 years, like I was having conversations with the Sifu about like being initiated into the deeper levels, like being advanced to the senior class, and he would tell me all the time, like, someday you're gonna run a school. Like I was fucking in that shit. Like I had a wooden dummy in my backyard. And then to bring it all back, bro, I've always been obsessed with Dragon Ball, which is about these magical fucking crystals that are created by godlike beings to manifest your wishes into reality. But it's also based on Sun Wukong, who floats on a cloud and he has this magic staff. What's the Wing Chun weapon, bro?
What? The power pole thing?
The pole staff.
Yeah.
So it's like these themes have been like surrounding me to be obsessed with this mystical Eastern practices. So it blew my fucking mind when he told me that in a past life I was a monk. I feel like that's what I've needed to hear my whole life.
It just makes perfect sense.
It just makes sense.
Yeah, it clicks.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
It finally made me feel like, dope, I've had a cool past life.
Yeah.
Is it this guy? Is it that guy? No, it actually makes sense.
So kind of speaking to that too, he said, when you were teaching me, you were teaching me about my energy at the monastery. And he told me that I was obsessed, and quite a few other, I think he said monks, like were obsessed with levitating. And then he told me, he was like, have you ever heard of the monk who levitated and went to heaven? I'm probably going to butcher the shit out of this, but basically the monk levitated across the water and then later on died, went to heaven and said, God, did you see that? I levitated across the water. I mastered my energy and I levitated. And God looked at him and said, so what? For a dollar, you could have taken the ferry. who cares? And I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
Like, that's so weird. I was obsessed with levitating because now I'm like surfing. And he's like, yeah, you're still levitating.
Oh,
like,
you didn't learn your
water, bro. Like, right, that's right. It's like energy
control. That's wild.
Yeah. And so he was kind of talking to me about my energy and like, he was like, do you ever just put your hands on people and like they calm down or like you change their energy? And I was like, no, but you know, I'm going to try.
There you go. So,
yeah.
Well, this is what I was going to say after that.
And
this is something that I've been meaning to do for a while. There's a man out there, a very thoughtful, generous, caring man by the name of Mr. J.
Oh, damn.
Who loves our program.
Shout out, Jay. Love you. It's my father-in-law.
Yes. And I wanted to take this moment to acknowledge, we see and appreciate that you are the biggest fan of this program. And I salute you.
We salute you.
I salute you, Mr. Jay. Thank you for letting me grow up and play at your house.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Love you, dude.
Thank you for letting me do dumb shit in your backyard.
You're the best.
Yes.
No, I really, he's the best. He's totally the best. And it's funny because he's like been kind of slow to to pick up on some of this stuff and to pick up on the podcast and whatever. But the last time that I went over there, he talked to me for like 2 hours straight about like the podcast, like
a few days ago.
He had just watched the episode with Bobby and Marky, and he was telling his fiance like in great detail. He was breaking down like all the details of, and then this happened, and then and he was asking me to tell her the story, and like I was getting some of the details wrong, and he's like, no, it didn't happen like that. This is what happened. I just watched it. So it's
like, okay, I was there, but okay.
No, that's the reality of it.
It's just funny.
I was like, it's been like a month since I've heard it, and you just heard it 2 days ago, so you probably do remember
it's,
it.
It's cute. It's adorable.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny that he's like, no, let me tell it. But you're the one who...
He's our biggest fan, bro.
The host. It's just so funny. Yeah. It's funny to me. Yeah. Shout out, Mr. J.
Shout out.
I get like a lot of joy every time they bring you up about like listening to the show or like buying his whole family hats and shit like that.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't have to do that.
I know.
Oh,
yeah.
Reminds me. We've got a small handful of hats left.
Right.
And we honestly don't know when they'll be coming back. Like the hats was just kind of a prototype run to enter into the New Age Drip market.
Yeah. And it was also like a cool 1 year anniversary thing for us to do. It was, you know, you guys have been hounding us about merch for a long time. So we were like, let's put together a really cool premium hat. Most of them are sold. There are a few left though. So if you want to grab them, BledsoeSaidSo.com. And then, you know, look out in the future. We're definitely going to continue at some point trying to do merch, but
right. We've got some ideas, but it won't be a hat.
But we're going to be focusing on the Patreon here soon.
Right.
Totally. We have a new perk for the Patreon, which we're going to be doing tonight. So you guys probably, by the time this comes out, you know. But anyway, the new perk for the $5 tier. Now you get not only the Discord and the early episodes, but you also get access to the Bledsoe Said So Minecraft server.
Yeah, Nick put a lot of work into this shit.
Yeah, I put together a cool little Minecraft server. Me and Alex are huge Minecraft nerds, and we're going to induct Ryan into the Minecraft nerddom. My wife loves Minecraft. A lot of the omies really love Minecraft. So if you out there are into Minecraft and you want to jump into our cool Minecraft world, we have a huge replica of the Bledsoe Said So sigil just floating in the air. We're actually going to be building some of like the Bledsoe sites in the world. We're going to build like where the first encounter happened. We're going to build cool replicas of all that stuff. But anyway,
also down the road, probably going to be having some like semi-frequent Minecraft events just for patrons to just be. It's an always online realm that we pay a subscription for to keep it up. So like anybody can just hop in and hop out at all times.
Exactly.
But we were thinking it'd be cool to do like semi-regular events where it's like, hey, let's all get in at the same time.
Yeah.
And like go raid, you know, caves or things like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Talking just about adventures. Events too. We just had a Discord event that went really well where we just kind of talked for hours.
Yeah. I stayed on till like 1:30.
Ryan usually stays on those for like 4 or 5 hours.
Well, like 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So if you're interested, that's another thing that we do with the Discord. We do these cool events where we'll all just get in and talk, kind of just chat, whatever. We also do movie nights,
which is coming soon.
We're going to have a movie night in the next couple. Well, you're going to be in Germany for a little bit.
For 2 weeks.
Well, when you get back, we're going to do another movie night. All of that stuff is all included in the $5 tier on Patreon. And we do have plans for the next tier coming soon, but
I'm not going to go into detail on this, but we've pretty much locked in on the upcoming, soon to be announced, soon to be released premium show. So just kind of like, you know, keep your peepers open on Bledsoe Said So and what these crazy ass boys are doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, but that's it. That's it. I think that's everything, y'all. Yeah. We plug what we needed to plug. We love you all so much. Yeah. Let's do it.
Love you guys. You ready on three?
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Bye guys.